This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quicken Loans Studios, here's Tony D.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, every week, Adam and I have done kind of a review of the series People vs. O.J. Simpson on FX, which I just loved. I loved the finale last night, and because it has some connection to 20 years ago, 20-plus years ago in the sports world with O.J. Simpson, it was right up my alley. Matt Zoller-Seitz joins us from RogerEbert.com, is a TV critic, and he joins us to talk about the series. How are you, Matt?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so I want to get your thoughts on what this was over this 10-part series, because on the surface, I really enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it because it was nostalgic. As a television series and the way it was produced, what were your thoughts on this series?
Well, I thought, you know, it's funny. I kind of came of age as a moviegoer in the 80s. I mean, there were a lot of movies that came out in the 80s that were about the 60s. And I'm old enough now that there are movies and TV shows about the 90s that are coming out now, and this is one of them. This is like one of the big ones. And 20 years is kind of a perfect length of time. It's actually 21 because it's history, but it's not so deep in the past that it feels like ancient history, and we get a little distance from it. And there were a number of TV movies that tried to do the O.J. Simpson story. They came out within a few years of the verdict, and none of them really worked. And I think maybe the thing was too fresh, or maybe we just knew, we remembered all the details too vividly, so it was like, what's the point of watching a reenactment? But I felt like this one was by far the best that I've seen. It really, really dug deeper, and it kind of put not just one, but like four or five different frames around what happened. So it wasn't just a question of like waiting for the scene where he tries on the glove or something like that. There was a lot more going on. A lot of it was like small stuff, like really minor, like character-based stuff. I just thought it was terrific.
There was so many good acting performances throughout this entire series. Is there one that really stood out that you said, this person really did an amazing job?
Well, it's really hard to choose. I mean, it's almost impossible to choose. And everybody's saying, oh, this thing is a lock for best miniseries at the next Emmys, and I think it probably is, unless some miraculous thing comes along between now and then. But the acting category, I don't know what they're going to do, because this is a really large cast, and there's no, although there are a lot of characters that feel like major characters, none of them really dominate the show. Like Robert Shapiro kind of, you know, Travolta's character kind of owns the first episode and a half. And then Marcia Clark starts to become important. And, of course, O.J. is a presence the whole time. And then Chris Darden comes in. But I thought they were all really, really good in different ways. And it's kind of crazy to me in retrospect that Travolta is Robert Shapiro, who's giving this weird, like, Johnny Depp gargoyle performance with all of this makeup and these weird eyebrows and these very kind of arch gestures, would be on the same show with Sterling K. Brown, who plays Chris Darden, who's so low key, like he's very, very giving a very minimalist, very subtle performance. And you got Nathan Lane as F. Lee Bailey, who's basically Nathan Lane. I mean, God bless him. He's great. He's funny. And I was happy to see him in this, but he was wonderful. And, you know, I could go on, but man, I think for me, though, it's got to be Courtney B. Vance as Johnny Cochran or Sarah Paulson as Marcia Clark. Again, two very different kinds of performances, but equally good. And Marcia Clark, what I had no idea that I found her so interesting until I saw Sarah Paulson play that role.
If you are somebody that's 25, let's say, or 26, and you watch this series and you didn't know anything about it, you just maybe heard about it from your parents, but you were just too young to remember this. This series, what I found interesting was, you couldn't write this as a script, and yet it was all real. It seems so crazy. Could somebody watch this and go, that's exactly what went down, and it be believable?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I can't, it's hard for me to imagine myself into the context of somebody who doesn't know anything about what happened, except, you know, maybe the verdict.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what my daughter, who's in college, thinks of this thing. She's really big on TV. She loves TV. She watches a lot of different shows. And she doesn't know anything about the O.J. case except that he was found not guilty and it was a very big deal. But yeah, you're right about that. I mean, the twists in the real case were so bizarre. They were just so bizarre that if you made up this entire thing, if you just changed all the names and you made up this entire thing out of your own imagination, people, you know, you would give it to the studio and they would go, this is a good start, but you got to go back and rewrite it because some of this is just completely out of left field. Like the fact that, like, Lance Ito's wife had dealings with Mark Furman, the racist police officer, in a prior case, like an internal affairs case, which compromised Ito on the bench. And nobody, for some reason, she never thought to point this out, and nobody else caught it until the trial was actively underway. Like, there's, like, seven or eight different things like that where you see it on the miniseries, and A, I'd forgotten about those details, a lot of them, and B, when they popped up, I was like, did they make that up?
Mad Zoller Sykes, really, yeah.
Was that an embellishment? And then I look it up, and it's like, no, that happened.
Mad Zoller Sykes joins us, RogerEbert.com, on the review of People versus O.J. Simpson. I kind of thought the scene where Marcia Clark was in the bar with Chris Darden and his buddies, and then she gives, like, the detail of what... why the conspiracy seems ridiculous. I'm thinking if she just gives this as the closing argument, maybe she wins. This was like one of the best parts of the series was that bar scene with the glasses.
It was great. It reminded me actually of scenes in like an Oliver Stone film where they're reconstructing the, you know, the Kennedy conspiracy or like, you know, or like the invasion, you know, the creation of the CIA, the military industrial complex and Nixon or something. Like somebody's talking and they're giving you flash cuts of like sinister old dudes smoking cigars in front of windows and people like getting things out of lockers and assembling guns and stuff. It was great. All the flashbacks and what a badass Sarah Paulson was. Like she reminded me of like Barbara Stanwyck or Betty Davis in the 1940s movie. She's one of the great television smokers of all time. Like she's right up there with Columbo and Don Draper, in my opinion. She worked at Zippo like you wouldn't believe. And the stuff with the shot glasses was great.
I thought it was brilliant.
Like this is the estate on Rockingham, clunk. You know,
time kind of simplifies everything, and we sort of remember people in sort of one sentence, you know, kind of descriptions. And a lot of times, people saw Marcia Clark and Chris Darden as like the buffoons that blew the case. Do you think this allows people to be more sympathetic and sort of go, "Boy, I'm going to change my mind on these people"? They were up against a juggernaut lawyer team that was dealing with something they just couldn't counter.
Yeah, that's the impression I got. I felt like the miniseries did a lot. It did a public service for a lot of the key figures in this case. It made everybody a little bit more sympathetic, even O.J. strangely, and only in the sense that the way that he's written by Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski, who I should say parenthetically carved out this wonderful little niche for themselves where they did dramas based on real life. Like they wrote The People versus Larry Flint. And with Woody Harrelson, which was terrific, and Ed Wood with Johnny Depp, and a few others. But this is kind of their wheelhouse. But they really got this great kind of approach to O.J., which is there's no there there. Like there's a kind of a weird vacancy at the heart of O.J., and Cuba Gooding Jr. plays in that way, where he doesn't seem to have any particular identity. As you know, as an athlete, as an African American, as a rich guy, as a celebrity.
Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Matt Zoller Sykes, RogerEbert.com on the People versus O.J. Simpson. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.